Doug Christie. He's Jason Ross.
Get off my lawn.
Spend your afternoons with DC and Jay Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Hi. Hello.
Chris is already ignoring me. We just started, man.
We just do the show.
Do the show.
Here we are on a Wednesday that feels like a Friday.
Is it Wednesday?
It is. Day before Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. Happy Thanksgiving to you, DC.
What are you thankful for?
You know what? A lot of things. As turbulent and weird and bizarre of this year has been. If you can have your health and your family's health.
Yep. That's about it.
You're good. I mean, we all want more. That's a natural. But if we're, you know, like some early moments of COVID when we really didn't know what the world was going to be like.
Right.
If you got your family with you and you're healthy.
You're living the dream. I would agree with you, man.
We're good, right?
Love, health, family. Yep. Man, no doubt. So
the lead in the football picks, I mean. You know, we're ahead.
I was still going to stay sentimental, and now you just...
I just move right past it.
You move right past it. Shout out to everybody out there. Happy Thanksgiving to you, and the hell with Jason's picks.
Hey, we're a team. We're a team.
Sometimes.
Kind of. Today on the show, we have a full show today. We are going to get you, ultimately tonight, 6:45, UC Davis basketball. The college basketball season has started. There have been a bunch of cancellations. We were just watching one of the potential top picks in next year's draft, which we just completed this year's draft. So college basketball is here. Davis a little bit later today. We got five on it today. We got our NFL picks and previews for the weekend. We also will visit with Keith Smith, NBA front office analyst for Yahoo and RealGM.com. Kind of more of all the offseason moves and some of the financial ramifications of all that. We certainly have to dig deep into the Kings news because as soon as we got off the air last night, the news broke with Bogdan Bogdanovic and the Kings electing to not match. So all of that and so much more, but let's get started.
First things first.
Close things first. Close.
Bazemore in transition, just hit a three on the left angle, drives on Joseph, gets into the paint, dumps it out to Whiteside, the quick flip, he scores it, and Portland now with 9 unanswered points is leading 13-5.
That was the G-man on the call, and we heard a Hassan Whiteside highlight. Well, the reason we're bringing that up is Hassan Whiteside is reunited with the Sacramento Kings. Just moments ago, D.C., free agent center Hassan Whiteside has signed a one-year deal. Mm-hmm. With the Sacramento Kings. So the free agents offseason wasn't very busy for the Kings. The biggest piece they addressed, De'Aaron Fox, we'll get into Bogey here in a moment, but just bodies, just another player, just a rotation filler. 1 year deal, I'm all good with that. Apparently it is the league minimum. The best of Hassan Whiteside, honestly, moments last year, 30 minutes a game when Nurkic was out, he was about 15-14 a game.
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah, his plus minus and different things would probably stagger a lot of people, but make no mistake about it. This is a big body. Kings were in need of making sure they tried to shore up the middle, and one of the names that came up for them was someone who was still productive, was on a playoff team and a playoff roster in Hassan Whiteside, and he will be probably behind Rashawn Holmes, making sure that he stays healthy. Now you have the ability to play a little bit bigger from time to time. He's played in a bit of an up-tempo style with Portland and Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. So for the Kings, at this particular point where they're at, one-year deal, I don't think it hurts you. It definitely will help you in the second unit on rebounding and defensively. He is solid on the defensive end, blocks a lot of shots. Now, where you'll have to figure it out is sometimes he leaves his man, so there has to be communication. But knowing that a big guy is back there protecting the rim is a big bonus.
Yeah, two different years he's led the league in blocks, including last year, even per game in total blocks. He is going to be very efficient. He doesn't take... Everything's around the rim for the most part. I know G-Man on that call there, we heard like kind of a mid-range jumper. He's capable of that, but when he plays, expect about high 50s to 60% shooting. Okay at the foul line. Mm-hmm. Really a good rebounder.
Yeah.
Can score and a shot blocker, but where will he fit in this specific group, I think, becomes, you know, they want to play Holmes. At least that's the thinking.
Yeah.
Would they opt for Whiteside over moving Belly to the five or Bagley to the five. That second move will be the one that's interesting to me.
I think it'll also be a coaching decision mm-hmm. based upon who you're playing against. If you're playing against Rudy Gobert, for instance, mm-hmm. you're probably going to go Whiteside. If you're playing against somebody who's a little more mobile or a team that maybe attacks it the same way that you're talking about, a smaller five, more mobile five.
Rockets then, last year.
Exactly. Right? Then you go, you can play a Nemanja. You can play even a Marvin at a five. So not the stretch five that's going to knock down threes and all those different things, but for the Kings, where they're at and what they're trying to accomplish. And I say that, obviously, we don't know all of that as of yet. You just always hope for the best, and you want to see this team put out a product on the floor that is representative of the Kings brand and this Sacramento fan base, which when that pairs together, watch out.
Yeah, and coming up in this hour as we continue, we're going to get more into just kind of the next part of this Kings picture, which next week's schedule comes out, training camp starts. What is the rotation going to look like? Where will now Hassan Whiteside fit in? We'll kind of get into that and kind of look inside the maybe what Luke Walton, Alvin Gentry, the rest of that coaching staff are looking at in ultimately filling up this roster.
First things first.
First things first.
We joked right when the show ended. I think it was something you said at the end of the show yesterday, Doug. You said, well, I'll be on my way home. You'll probably get this bogey news, and I'll get to the house. I'm like, well, Doug, there's still like three more hours. I don't think you're going to hear that on the way home. You were gone for maybe 5-10 minutes. It was, I don't know, 15 minutes after the show. Yeah. Jay and I are near. Oh,
there it is.
There's the news.
Yeah.
We called. You were like, you were right on. It just happened.
Am I usually? Aren't I?
Yeah, you do really pretty well there.
Yeah. I mean, the picks, don't worry about that. That thing is, it's a little stock market-ish.
Yeah.
Don't worry. But most times, all the listeners, you know, I'm spot on, baby. Cut that, Chris. That won't have a long shelf life.
No, it won't. The Kings last night did elect to not match Bogdan Bogdanovich. You know, you ever play that game when you were a kid, and it may be called different in your neighborhood, I don't know, but Pickle? Like where you had like two people with a ball, and you're in the middle trying.
Yeah, yeah.
The Kings were truly in a pickle here.
Yeah.
I mean, you can make the argument clearly for signing him. You can make the argument for not.
Mm-hmm.
One of the negatives of not is the emptiness I think people feel. That was more of
getting
something. And right. I get moving on from him, but if you get something, then you feel a little better. And they got nothing, and that's probably where the biggest struggle has been for understanding the pickle the team was in.
So, did they not get anything?
Today.
Yes. I think, and this is where Monty understands what Monty is trying to do. What he got, what Kings fans got, is flexibility. And that, I think, is ultimately what he wanted. And it's too bad. He was actually going to get the flexibility in a player had not this thing fell apart.
Correct.
In a player that I was totally happy to get. I don't want to see Bogdan go in any case, but if you were going to let him go and you were going to give us back Dante DiVincenzo, okay, and DJ Wilson, that's a flyer and that might work. But in this particular instance, it didn't work. Somebody snitched or whatever you want to call it. And the Kings, from Monty's perspective, and that's his perspective. We get to look from the outside looking in. From his perspective is, this is the flexibility that I want, that this organization needs for us to move forward. So for that, yes, we'll have to wait and see. Like I said, for me, Bogdan is a really good player. And it's emptiness. But when you flip it around and say, okay, flexibility, it's a thing that you can't see and quantify the way that you can with an actual player.
Yeah.
That's where I think Kings fans are like, what the hell?
Exactly. It's not the exact parallel here, Doug, but when the Raiders and John Gruden traded Khalil Mack, that moment you look at it and go,
I got you.
Potential Hall of Famer for two picks, and there was more, but you – that day, big loss.
Right.
You have to, what are the picks? Now you have, Jacobs. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you then total the whole price at the end and you go, maybe it wasn't good, but it wasn't as bad. Or the Cousins, Buddy Hield, and future picks. It's like, day one, Cousins is the best player. Yes.
Right.
Yes, he is.
Right.
Okay, Buddy became something here. And then that draft, and so on. So you just, you because it's not tangible, you have to wait. What does this freedom create? What will that do in the future? Then you look at it and go, oh, that player they got, that was really because they didn't sign Bogey. Maybe it's better then.
Yeah.
But not today.
No, it's not. It doesn't feel that way. It could be different had there been a history of our team that continued on and there was 10 years of playoffs. And then you switch general managers because you had a couple down years and maybe somebody retires or moves on, as opposed to switching general managers, switching coaches, all these different things. So the feeling is, oh, here we go again. I totally get it, but this is where we'll have to see what the flexibility gives Monty the ability to accomplish in his scheme of a game plan that's this grand plan that he would like to impart on the Kings organization.
Yeah, and those are still to be determined. But you get the general thought, almost everybody that's kind of covered the Kings on whether it was the Bogey deal that didn't happen, not matching him, everything that they have done leans towards trying to have a little bit of that cap flexibility, which he told us the first day we had him on.
Yeah, he did.
He said, I want the flexibility to be aggressive and strike when the right deal is there. So that's not happened right away. So he's trying to create that part and then trying to get younger. Certainly, they didn't add anything but draft picks with the exception now of Whiteside, but that's not a long-term deal.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of see the framework, but you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there were more trades in season or down the line with this team.
Absolutely. I have to think that the Kings are, I don't even know if you say buyer or seller, because the selling would be trading, but at the same time, to Monty's point, is it that one, like a Chris Webber trade, for instance, that all of a sudden you land yourself a player that can be a perennial all-star and change the dynamic of things, the ability to convince him, it's not going to be as hard as it was maybe with Webb initially, because Sacramento has grown and blossomed in Doko and a new facility and all the things that are the Sacramento Kings right now. But unfortunately, time is the thing that Kings fans are like, we don't have that.
Yeah.
And it's just, it is the saying, it is what it is.
It is, yeah. And that's where, you and I have done this long enough too, and you've lived it as a player, but the frustration of the fan base, I totally understand, because while, to me, in fairness to Monty, he's just started.
Mm-hmm.
The fan base has been fans for, whether you're a 10-year
lifetime,
fan, 25, 40 years, you've seen good, you've seen bad, but the bad's been here a long time. That's not all attributed to Monty, but when his group would probably say, hey, we need some time, hey, I've been a fan for 30 years.
Yeah. Well,
true, but in fairness to them, he just started.
It's part of the deal. I heard De'Aaron Fox talk about this at one point, because they were like, you haven't been to the playoffs, and I think then it was 12 years or 13 years. And he's, well, I don't feel that.
It's not him.
Yeah. Now, let's judge now. Now, it's been some years, they still haven't been to the playoffs, and that's on your clock and your time. And I actually like the mentality of De'Aaron. I like how he approaches it. But this particular situation, one thing that you got yourself an absolute stud in De'Aaron Fox. If he continues to trend in the way that he's going, All-Star is probably on the horizon for him at some point. What are we going to get from Marvin Bagley is going to be the big key.
That's huge.
Kid stay healthy? If he stays healthy, I think he'll be fine, and I think Kings fans will be happy with what Marvin brings to the table. Haliburton, Buddy Hield, all these different things. You're trying to find yourself that nice core, but you do got that one piece, and it's always very, very important.
Well, we appreciate everybody that always checks in with us, Doug, at 44-1140 on the text line, certainly on YouTube. We're there up and running again there. One text that came in that I wanted to read to you. Let's see. Hey, guys, what's
Be
your
nice.
Take? No, that's good. What's your take on Woodard? Everyone's talking about Haliburton and Ramsey, who I think will be a star, but I think Woodard looks like an uncommon freak in his own right. What do you think is his floor, his baseline, and his ceiling?
So, floor, I'm not really sure. I'm gonna give you a ceiling, and then we can go in there. The kid's name from Indiana that I gave you, Danny Granger.
Okay, which is really nice ceiling
That's a ceiling. I don't know if he can develop. Not has, because he doesn't have him. That type of dribbling creativity to get his shot off. But I like what I see from the shot. As you mentioned, he is a chiseled Greek god. The dude is strong as all giddy up. He has that. I will have to think a little bit more. But that's the first name that came to mind. I'm like, if this kid watching his film, I'm like, if he could turn into something, Danny Granger's a name that comes to mind. I don't know if the fluidity in the hips and all that different stuff is there for him, but we will see.
Yeah, and I think generally, for me, when a second-round pick gets taken by any team, it's the goal is to make the team. Where I think it's a little bit different for Woodard and Ramsey, like they're in spots to probably –
play
almost guarantee on the team and then maybe get some minutes. So
right. You
still have to earn that. And maybe it's spot minutes to, no, we can't get this guy off the floor. So that's what you want to become is Isaiah Thomas. Oh, I made the team. Okay. Well, maybe deeper. You know what? Every time we play him, he's good. Oh, wait, we're starting him now. He's too good.
What did he say? He said ceiling, baseline.
And then floor. Yeah.
Baseline, maybe DaQuan Jeffries.
Good. Is that second round pick? That's good.
Is that solid?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think DaQuan's super strong defensively, gets after it, those type of things. It's a great question. Thank you for the text line, because
yeah.
I did give Jason one name, but I hadn't thought much past that. But I like Woodard.
Yeah. And again, we're, 6 days away from those guys getting started?
Oh, boy.
It's almost here. The schedule is supposed to be out about a week, maybe 6 days as well.
Tuesday.
Yeah. They don't even know the roadmap yet. But yet the season, I mean, this is crazy. Crazy times, crazy year. Again, to recap the top story, Hassan Whiteside has signed a one-year deal, veteran minimum to play with the Kings. Bogdan Bogdanovic, the Kings elect not to match him. We're going to have more on that because there was a really interesting story today from Bleacher Report on kind of the whole breakdown of that deal with the Kings and the Bucks. We'll explain that coming up in our next segment, but let's continue on First Things First.
First Things First.
First Things First.
Well, tomorrow, a tradition, Thanksgiving, 3 football games. Really, it's been 2 for years. You always get the Lions involved in a game. They're going to be playing the Texans. We'll have that game for you. Then you got Washington taking on the Dallas Cowboys. They've been in that time slot forever, in that middle game. About 10 years, maybe a little bit more or so ago, Doug, they decided to add a third game, give us that nightcap after you're getting that second helping of food, maybe. And I think for this week was the best game on the schedule, as it was Pittsburgh, undefeated, taking on the Ravens. We've been mentioning the brief shows we've had here the last 2 days about the Ravens and all these COVID concerns with the team. Well, the league has now moved that game.
Oh,
they will
boy.
Now play on Sunday. There's no replacement, so we have 2 games tomorrow, which is fine. See if you can do this safely. But Steelers and Ravens scheduled now for Sunday.
It's tough. This is as we start college basketball. This is kind of the season that we're in. That's why we talked about trying to bubble it up a little bit. But unfortunate, but the fact that you're still going to get the game. Did you say Sunday or Monday?
Sunday.
Sunday. The fact that you're still going to get the game in and you're hoping that you're going to get the game in for a Ravens team that really needs this game, they are absolutely hoping that their running back room gets filled
healthy.
Back up because that is an area that I believe they would really want to exploit that comes into their play action and all the different stuff that it does. So I'm glad they're still getting it in.
Yeah, it's funny that nobody seems to want these Thursday games, right? League-wide, they all complain. Pittsburgh today was like, no, let's play. They didn't want to move the game. Yeah, because you have some advantages with Baltimore being down some guys.
That's how you're supposed to do it.
Yeah.
If you see a – advantages,
yeah.
Take advantage.
But you're 10-0. You're best in the league. Go represent and go sweep them on Sunday.
You said they're best in the league.
Well, 10-0 suggests you are your record. If not, they're one of the best, right? We'd all say that at least.
No, I think they are a super solid ball club, man, no doubt.
Yeah, but that I think is going to be, NFL has, I guess I would say, made it. I mean, we're in week 12, but
yeah,
I thought, we had some games. Who else got moved? The Raiders. And your Seahawks
Titans,
went into the Sunday night. Yeah, there's
Patriots.
There's been a couple games moved to a Tuesday, two Monday nights. But for the most part, and now all the buys have happened, I think. So if you get another thing like this, plus, if I'm not mistaken, Baltimore plays next Thursday.
Wow.
So they basically had to play Sunday.
Which is...
Now you're affecting 2 weeks of games.
Sure. And for them, man, this is an important time. They did not expect to be in this position right here.
They don't have the wiggle room.
They do not at all. And their quarterback has some wiggle, but there ain't no room.
So we'll see if more of this happens, certainly in college basketball, like you said, Doug. But it did happen to college football. Nick Saban also has tested positive for COVID-19. So now did he not have it before? You can get it twice, some say. I don't know. We're still learning. Or was that a false positive? Because remember, he was back on the sideline that weekend.
they're saying it as it was a false positive, and this one is not a false positive.
He has some symptoms.
Yeah, he has symptoms. So, first of all, shout out to Coach Saban.
For sure.
We truly, truly hope that you get well soon. But I don't think that this is where you're going to be taking a test and we'll see him on the sideline on Saturday. That's going to be a hard no.
And you just think about how college football, I would say, has made it this far, but there's been potholes all over the place. Like game, you know, we mentioned yesterday, Wisconsin's missing their third game. They haven't played that many games. The biggest name in the sport now twice in Nick Saban had the positive or false positive before, now more of a confirmed symptomatic situation. Trevor Lawrence, the biggest player on the field, has missed 2 weeks. It's affected the sport. Even with all that, yesterday we gave the first college football rankings, and you had four familiar names at 1 through 4. But talk about wiggle room. One of them slip up, and now are you putting in, hey, who's that team at 4?
Yeah.
That's where this sport could be going.
It could be. And there's going to be – that's why I said 8, because now you take out the even with 8, you're going to have some people that are going to be upset. But let me tell you, with 4, and there's a couple – one of the teams that are in there has only played 4 games, I believe. So this is going to – it's uncharted territory, and I think for a lot of people, not that 2021 is going to change everything, but 2020 can't get out of our eyesight soon enough.
I know, no kidding, and I hope it's as simple as just flipping the calendar. No, I don't know. We're not that far away from 2021.
Yeah, well, maybe we're not that far away from happiness.
Yeah, that's true, because now doesn't it feel to you just personally on, you know, when it started and you'd hear things like, we might be 18 months from vaccine, 18 months. Well, it's closer.
Yeah.
And it feels like I still think, personally, Doug, I think we're going to have a spike again. We're already – every day is bad, right? And I think there's all this talk about all these people traveling on Thanksgiving, and I got to believe people will get together around Christmas, that we might hit even worse numbers in January. But then
– start to
– and the light and vaccine, it just feels like we can see it. We're just – we're not there yet, though.
No, we are not.
We got to still push.
A lot of what we're hearing now – the tone has changed a little bit. That does not mean that it's changed.
Yeah.
We're free.
There was a – I think I might have retweeted it. I might have just watched it. But Rex Chapman put out something. There's a doctor, and he's all masked up, and he is talking to the camera. But he's talking to the camera from the point of view as you're a patient.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, "You, this is not going to be the last thing that you see.
Nope.
Please, please wear a mask."
Yeah.
I was just like, wow.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I'm for that. All right, we're just beginning here again. Still to come, Keith Smith, NBA front office analyst for Yahoo and RealGM.com, joins us to start the 4 o'clock hour. We'll kind of take a closer look at the Kings books. Where are they now with the addition of Hassan Whiteside on a veteran minimum? But when we come back, the Bleacher Report story is really interesting. Some good nuggets in there about how this Kings and Bucks deal fell apart. We'll discuss that next here on KHDK. Back here on Sports 1140 KHDK.
Yes, sir.
Jason Ross, Doug Christie on this day before Thanksgiving.
Oh, man. You cooking at the crib? What that is?
There's a little drop-off here.
Really?
Something for the show.
For the show?
For the show.
Man, I shouldn't ate this.
From my boo.
I shouldn't.
To you.
Oh, man. I shouldn't ate my donut?
No.
Really?
You can hold on to that.
I can hold on to that?
Yeah.
Chris helped us out.
He did.
I told him. I said, "We ain't having no Jamaican Thursday, and Friday ain't no donuts. Hook it up."
Well, let's just say I haven't had any donuts yet, Op, so I'm good. Let's go. Line it up.
Yeah, that's how
you
live.
There you go,
Jay.
A little special delivery, your own little bag. You could take one in there into Chris. Doug had these one time out at the.
Chris might not make it.
Forget about it.
Are these for Chris?
Hey,
sure.
They might not make it to Chris.
I want the bag.
You're not getting the bag.
I can't have a bag.
No, Chris, you're not getting the bag.
It's only Jason, two of the bag short over here, see?
Jason holds the bag.
Yes. Specific request on delivery was, I want the bag back.
You think she's listening?
And she is.
Is that a specialized bag there?
What I got.
Can I have the bag, eh?
No.
She's going to text you back.
Okay.
What?
Doug's asking for the bag.
Yes.
Respond. Let's see. We'll see some clever emojis that come back.
He's going to come back with a dollar price.
Damn. Okay. I feel you. I got you.
This is from Mrs. Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
These were being...
I already know. This is the get down.
Yeah. They've been working on for... So I didn't know there was a delivery coming. So there you go. That was what happened during the break.
Damn the donuts, Chris. I pay for them still. I apologize.
You need that bag over there, D?
Oh, I'm going to need
it. Oh, okay. I'll just check.
Yeah, we'll see when this kicks in here. We'll see. We'll see what
this
response
is. Hey, for me, this is perfect timing. The third, I'm about to do it big.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm about to live large. I'm going to come in, pants a little tight. It's okay. It's all right because in a couple of days.
Yeah.
Give it to me.
All right. We were talking as we went to break about the Kings news of the day. Of course, if you hadn't heard from right off the top, Hassan Whiteside will be coming back to the Kings. Signs a one-year deal, veteran minimum for the Sacramento Kings. And response is in.
No
Let
bag.
Me see. Wow, that was short and sweet. Nope. I thought there would be some emojis or other things.
Hey, that's how you feel it, huh?
Yeah. Okay. Is it bad that I can hear her saying nope as you saying nope?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just nope.
All right.
Nope on the bag. Anyway, Hassan Whiteside signs a one-year deal with the Kings.
Now I hope you're listening to the show because you're taking my energy down. So I'm just...
Oh, no. Yeah. Just have a cookie. You'll be back.
But right. Doug, she was very nice about it. She could have said, huh.
Let me think.
Huh. Well said.
Just
see?
A no.
Okay.
So we mentioned Whiteside being in the fold, but Bogey is not. It was a really interesting piece today, Bleacher Report, where it really uncovered... on their reporting, where it fell apart, really with the Bucks. Remember, we speculated, is this tampering? Is this Bogey's camp? It feels like there's a little bit of elements of all of it, but reading that, it feels like a lot of this fell on Milwaukee. And
really?
What's interesting, and now I'll try to parlay this into the best description of the story, but it was very clear on this story's reporting, Doug, that Milwaukee and specifically Giannis wanted Bogdan Bogdanovic. They had his eyes set on him. They had targeted him. They had been talking to him. So this is why the outcome is really surprising to me. That's got to be flattering, one, for Bogey.
Mm-hmm.
The best player or one of them in the league, two-time MVP, wants you to put them over the top.
Mm-hmm.
Yet in the end, you kind of said no to him, which is interesting. That's one part.
Hold on. So, because I didn't read this. So
yeah.
How did he say no to him? Because he backed out of the deal?
Correct. Now, he still could have accepted the deal that was out there. So the way it was also framed was they agreed, both sides, to a framework of a deal.
Okay.
Where things changed, because things can be fluid. The original proposal to the Kings was Bledsoe and the 24 for Bogdanovich. Now, money's a little higher. That would have gotten Bogey into that $18 million range.
Because they wanted to keep DiVincenzo.
Kings wanted DiVincenzo.
Absolutely. Well done, Kings.
Exactly. They didn't back down from that. Like, we're okay with Bledsoe, but we want DiVincenzo.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, Milwaukee now goes, okay, well, we want Giannis, who we want to keep the most. That's priority one.
Yep.
Wants Bogey.
Yep.
Okay, we got to work around the Kings then. All right, we don't want to get rid of DiVincenzo, but if that's what we have to give up. Oh, wait a minute. New Orleans calls. Jrue Holiday. That was not part of their overall plan, but to make that work, Bledsoe and Hill and three first-round picks go there. Money shrinks. That's partly where Bogey's like, yeah, it was probably good at the 18. That's a figure I think we thought we were going to live in. 15, I didn't agree to that. That's kind of where things fell apart. And I think Milwaukee got ahead of themselves because from what it sounded like in this article – they were very proud of getting Jrue Holiday. They wanted to back it up with the
Bogdan
news and maybe even get into that extension time with Giannis and just say, we just won everything before even the draft. Look at how good we are, except for it didn't all come together.
So, okay, so what you're saying is they agreed to framework. The framework somehow maybe went from 18 to 15.
Because the Kings did not want they wanted DiVincenzo, so they had to restructure that. The Holiday part changed it dramatically. Then they got to the DiVincenzo, Ilyasova, DJ Wilson part. Both sides were good, but maybe Bogey's camp wasn't all the way in.
I got you.
But then that's the other part now that it's all kind of finalized. in a roundabout way, Bogey, like all that flattering of Milwaukee wanting him, thinking he's the piece, he said no.
Listen, you put the proper pieces around him that know how to play basketball, and he's going to play at a high level. We watched him play it. There were ups and downs and different things, but undeniably he can play basketball. He can do everything on the court. So Atlanta has got themselves a really, really solid piece in Bogdan Bogdanovic. Unfortunate for the Kings, it did not work out. I like what Monty targeted.
Yeah, because he avoided – Bledsoe's fine. Bledsoe's good in the 24, but that's not what he wanted.
No.
And there was way more money in 3 more years on Bledsoe.
Yeah.
So it was, let's take the younger player in DiVincenzo, more cap-friendly.
Yep.
Ilyasova's the money coming back, and maybe he's a role player, but it's 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, to me, DJ Wilson was the flyer. Like, okay, that's a risk, and if it doesn't pay off, then our target was DiVincenzo.
Yeah, and DiVincenzo's upside is – tremendous as a young player continuing, because if he just brings what he brings right now, you're okay with that.
Yeah.
And there are areas of his game that can drastically improve, but he's scrappy defensively, he gets after it. But so my point is, if that's the target and that's what Monty's saying, like, these are the things, I like that.
Yeah.
Because I like the first trigger that was pulled. That player for me was okay if we were going to have to lose Bogdan.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it sounded like also in the story, there's some stuff in there where maybe Milwaukee was getting ahead of themselves and talking a little bit about, look at us, this is what we're going to do, telling even other owners allegedly. And then that's where the story came out that, hey, the league is investigating this proposed deal. Like, was there tampering? And, you know, again, we know there is.
It's never funny to talk about your money.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
The Bucks learned the hard way.
Yeah. And I think to their credit, they scrambled. And I still think they did okay this offseason. Now, I don't know what that's going to do for Giannis long term. I still think their biggest answer to all that is what happens next postseason. If they hoist a championship,
yeah,
I think they got an excellent chance of keeping him. Even if they added LeBron, Anthony Davis, somehow Kawhi Leonard, and they lost, maybe you lose Giannis anyway. I think we can get attached to who they add. It's the result of what they become.
I mean, there's a couple things there, to be honest with you. I could see why they would want Bogdan, because in moments where, and this is like, you got a two-time MVP, but in those moments, he's not able to do what he's done, because playoff basketball is different. They walled up on him and did not allow him driving lanes and different things. And there's still a – that's where, as an athlete, sometimes you got to take what the defense gives you and figure out a way. But when he's doing that, he wasn't necessarily always passing to playmakers. Well, Bogdan is the type of guy, if he passes him that ball and runs over and sets a pick and roll, you got to respect him, which they did not do to Bledsoe because they were going underneath and Bledsoe couldn't knock down jump shots. Bogdan's going to do that. Well, now that begins to open the game up for Giannis. So, their vision of what they were trying to do totally made sense. Jrue Holiday, that's a big-time pickup right
yeah,
there,
it is.
Brother.
He can
go.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder, too, Doug, if this was – I know Halliburton, they're very happy with drafting him.
Right.
I wonder, let's say the deal did go through.
Ah, good one.
And do they stay at 12? Do they move back? Do they still take Halliburton, which still would make sense? You could have a lot of depth in the backcourt. I don't know. And the Kings today will tell you this is who we wanted all along. It sounded like Halliburton wanted to be here. There's a lot of things to like with that, but would it have changed if before the draft, we knew that this deal really was going to go through?
If that was your guy, I would have probably went with it.
Me
because
too.
One thing you know about DiVincenzo is he can play at this level.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless how good some first-round pick, some high draft, you just
see.
Don't know.
Yeah.
And some of them, we've had a few here that
didn't pan out.
I'm not going to say any names.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. we'll just let you theater the mind. You pick the names in your own head. All right, we will take the break here. When we come back... So Buddy's here. He's in the mix. He was tweeting some interesting things, too. How can the Kings make this all work? How does this roster compete? Doug and I will discuss that next here on KHDK. Back here on Sports 1140 KHDK, Keith Smith joining us at the top of the hour. Talk about these Kings moves and other moves. Who are the free agency winners as we close in on the start of the NBA season. Still our NFL picks and previews coming up in the 4 o'clock hour and 5 on it as well. One follow-up text from my wife for you, Doug, because you asked about the
from
bag.
Who?
My wife.
My wife.
Because there was a quick no.
Oh.
And the second one, it was a gift, hand-picked. Sorry, Doug.
Okay.
A little more description.
Now you made me feel better. Yeah. I was in my feelings.
Yeah.
Just I was like, okay, I see it.
Just no.
I got it. You collector's
know
item.
You know what the million dollar man said?
What?
Everyone's got a price.
It's true.
Ah. Alba, what's your price? let's
do you
find
really
out.
Want it, Doug?
Yeah, let's just negotiate here for a moment. $20.
What are you going to do with that bag?
Nothing.
Okay. You just want to see what the price is.
I like the movie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Give it to my wife.
A lot of people can't see it because this is radio. It's actually a Terminator 2. Bag.
It's a Smurfs
breakfast
bag.
At Tiffany's.
Yeah.
Yeah. $20.
Okay. We'll see. We'll get the follow-up report. When it comes in.
Been known to back out like the Bucks.
The deal fell apart. So last night, again, you know, looking at social media, Twitter world, everybody had in their feelings, like we said before, about Bogey. And that understandable. Likeable guy, you know, wish him nothing but the best. He's no longer going to be a part of what the Kings are doing.
Right.
But is Buddy Hield a long-term thing? And he's tweeting some things out there, and you're like, oh, boy.
Tweeting or liking?
Sorry, correct. Liking some tweets.
Because I looked for the tweet and I didn't see the tweet. I said, that's a like.
Yes.
You stirring the pot?
I'm not, per se. And I know
Is he?
Yeah. And yeah. I don't know. Again, I'm kind of feel like I'm on a by myself here a little bit. I'm a defender of Buddy as far as what he can do, what the really good things what skill set he has. But I'm with you in full agreement that you can still coach him up and need to in ways that he can get better.
Yeah.
But can all of that be done even while some of this other stuff is out there, or will that other stuff be a lingering issue?
I have a feeling, knowing Buddy the way that I do, and not that I know everything, but I've laughed and joked with Buddy. I have a feeling that he's laughing.
This is all funny to him?
In
a way?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know. But
he's trolling a little bit?
Yeah, okay, there's the word. Excuse me. Let the millennial handle things. All right. Yeah, he's trolling. He finds it entertaining.
And I guess I would say that's okay, but not everybody knows that he's doing that. And
but
we
that's
don't know
the whole
that
point.
True.
Because it gets a rise out of folks.
Okay.
And one thing I know about Buddy is when he gets here, he's going to be ready to do his deal.
Oh, he works hard. That's like not even a question.
But I found it. I laughed.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Buddy, you fool. I actually saw that tweet and laughed, but I don't think, replied. I didn't really look in the likes to see.
Yeah.
Because I don't really pay attention until someone posted it. But he has a sense of humor.
Yeah, and you know, there's other players that have been, not even necessarily social media, but been people that things can get to them. I think DeMarcus was one we talked about a lot, where sometimes, oh man, you don't want to get Doug mad, because if you got Doug mad, he played better, or this player. DeMarcus, I honestly thought it affected him. Like,
yes.
If he got mad, it could derail him, not in a positive way where, okay, that's got a technical fine. Oh, he got a second one. He's out of the game. That hurt the team. Or
right.
Or that was a silly foul. Why did you do that? You're rattled. Michael Jordan, don't get him mad. We saw that documentary, he made things up. Well, I don't know. If this all is motivation for Buddy in some way, great. But he already works hard. I don't know what the game is for him, if it's a game.
I mean, just like Chris said, there's a word for it. It's trolling.
Okay.
If he's having fun doing that, then that's it. If that's really his feeling, I think that'll something that will show itself once he gets here, because now the whole Bogdan thing is not a thing.
Yeah.
So that'll kind of take care of itself. I always, to go on, because I always thought, because I noticed that as well, if I'm going against him, that's the first thing I'm going to do.
Absolutely.
I'm all up in your head, baby.
I know you would have.
Smack him.
Right. You would look for an advantage. That's an advantage. That's a known advantage.
Step on his foot.
Yeah.
And for people who are listening, you're like, That's whatever you want to call it. The point is, if that rattles you in a professional setting to the point that you can't do your deal, move out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And you're that good?
Right.
You're like that guy? Oh, man. Yeah. I am all over that.
Yeah, you're trying to figure out, how do I guard this guy with every skill? Oh, he can guard himself in a sense if I get to him.
Yeah. You just, part of it is the really good ones, they either, that motivates them or they don't let you in.
Mm-hmm.
But if you let me in.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Skip rope in there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to get a little real estate up in that joint, plant a garden.
Yeah.
See if get some collard greens out of there.
Some right now, this feels like if you're right and this is truly trolling.
Okay.
Let's paint a scenario where somehow, like Buddy probably feels like, good, this is my spot again. I'm the starting two guard, which I feel like he is. But I don't know. What if Coach Walton goes, I really like him better off the bench. I'm going to start Halliburton or Corey Joseph and Fox or something different.
Upset.
Yeah. And then it becomes an issue.
It does. I actually like Buddy coming off the bench, but I like Buddy coming off the bench on a better team.
Correct.
Because that would be the thing that could help push you over the top to make you an elite competitor. But if he's better than the person in front of him, then that's different. When you talked about Bogdan, it was arguable because Bogey is a better all-around player than Buddy is. But Buddy, there's not really – I mean, I could name a couple guys, maybe two,
mm-hmm.
that are it maybe say better than Buddy. He's Steph Curry –
you're talking
KD?
Just shooting? Or
yeah. Who else?
I mean, he's in that group. Like
yeah.
Clay, Bradley Beal, right? I mean, like the great shooters in the league.
So
he's in the group.
Yes. But as far as the all-around game, okay, Bogdan had him there. So that was, you could argue that.
Yeah.
Now, if it's a rookie and the rookie isn't producing, now, if he beats the hell out of him in practice, usually that takes care of itself.
Yeah, here's a couple for you quickly, Doug, in our final minute as we go to break from the text line. If Buddy works so hard, why doesn't he play defense?
He actually, Buddy does work hard on the defensive end. He does. Now, are there times when he gets beat? Yeah, he does. I mean, but as far as the competitiveness and getting after it, he does work hard on the defensive end. I always said, and thank you for the text, is a lot of it, what I saw, was technique. Mm. That's just me. So you can work hard as hell, and if you ain't got the technique, you're just working hard, stupid.
Right. One last one. This one's from Ramsey. Put his name on it. Thank you, Ramsey. I have to ask this question I've had for over a week now. Would you have taken a similar low-risk flyer on DeMarcus Cousins as the Kings did on Whiteside? I personally would have done it while defining a role before signing him.
I would have considered it.
Yeah.
I just don't – it would have been like, what's your mindset, how you coming in here, because who you are now and who you were then and attitude and different things like that. But, yeah. I mean, he's loved here, especially in the community. I think so. DeMarcus, whatever you want to say about him on the floor, first of all, he's a hell of a player. But in the community, he's first class.
But they did take the move and sign Hassan Whiteside. We're going to talk more about that in the next hour. Still our picks and previews. Keith Smith, NBA front office analyst for Yahoo and RealGM.com, joins us when Doug and I come back here on KHDK.